This is Corey with KVGD LP FM Radio, bringing you another audio blog from the Simcoe Highlands. Needlework by Corey Eberhart. To give shots when I have my nerve up every year, it is the same. The old mare is patient and seems to know what is coming. Already the hurt, accusing look is in her eyes, but she is haltered, tied, and barely moves when I flick the needle into her chest muscle, attach the syringe, and inject the vaccine. Crooning to her seems to help. Scratching her belly reassures her, although that look does not quite go away. I give her the second shot, yet she has reason to accuse me, if only of abusing her good nature. Equine vaccinations are an annual springtime ritual that involves multiple shots. Tetanus, Eastern and Western encephalitis, West Nile, also flu rhino is encouraged, but I have opted not to give that one the past few years without consequence, probably because my horses are homebodies, as I never take them where they might be exposed to colds and flu bugs. The most recent addition to the recommended list of vaccines for equines is West Nile virus, WNV. It is a mosquito-borne disease that passes from birds to equines and can also infect humans. WNV is a long way from its continent of origin, but has become a fact of life in the Western Hemisphere. Cases of the disease first appeared in New York City during 1999. It took just 7 years for it to move across the country, showing up on the West Coast in the summer of 2006. Although drug companies developed an equine vaccine for it by 2009, Washington State led the nation in number of reported cases of the disease. That was when Northwest horse owners finally became serious about prevention. When I was just a girl, my sisters and I talked our folks into letting us have horses. Both of my parents were raised in town or city and were not expert at animal husbandry, but that did not stop them from indulging us. Pulgita, Little Flea, was a plain sorrel filly purchased from a Kittitas County horse trader, Frida Olds, without benefit of a pre-purchase vet exam or x-rays. Buyers and sellers did not do that in those days. She came to us with some scrapes on her legs and the story that she had gone through a fence. It was not long before we saw that she wasn't right. Pulgita would become disoriented, staggering, falling, striking out or biting us if we came near her. When the vet did examine her, he diagnosed sleeping sickness. Vividly, I remember old Doc Mee's stern lecture that it could have been prevented with a vaccine, that the sorrel filly must have been infected before she came to us, evidenced by her going through a fence at Frida's place, was no consolation. The Daily Record newspaper constantly ran Busby Livestock Company's advertisement in the classifieds, "Wanted, your crippled, diseased, and distressed animals." My mother called Busby's when we were all at school. The filly was gone when we got home. Having finished vaccinating one horse, I hoped this needlework would get easier, but it does not. The gelding, chest muscles taut, has been known to push a needle out and bend one going in by clenching with isometric force. I study his chest, the cleft between the two muscle masses and the palpable veins, planning where to embed the needle. His flesh is a contradiction, simultaneously soft and hard, velvet and steel. How am I to get a needle in that? I have waited too long. He fidgets in the cross ties, head high. I wonder, will I be quick enough? My doubt shakes its way to my fingertips, and the syringe in hand trembles. We are deal makers, the gelding and I. When he focuses on my pocket, where there are carrots, I know he will take the hit for the promise of payoff. Regaining some confidence, I flick the needle in, attach the syringe, and inject the killed virus solution deep into his muscle. The crunchy carrot bits are handed over along with enthusiastic praise, pats, and relief. Now for a second shot on the other side of his chest. He is still crunching through carrots, and as I am more practiced in the motions, it is done. The colt, 4 years old and unbroken, though not unhandled, turned out not to be a monster when faced with the needle. The vet did give him his first shots when he was a yearling, but I have done it since, bluffing through with bravado. He trusts me, I guess. Surprisingly, he is better at the business than either of the older ones. Perhaps his memory is not so long, and I manage to catch him by surprise each time. His look says, "Surely you did not mean to hurt me," with just a bit of a question in the flick of his ears. I do not like giving shots, but I do it. I tell myself it is a failure of character to call the veterinarian out just to administer vaccines. This has been Corey with an audio blog post from the Simcoe Highlands, KVGDLP FM Radio.